my name is Sébastien. I'm a first-year PhD student at French graduate school Télécom Bretagne, and I'm going to be presenting you a work I've done with my advisors, Fabien Dania from Télécom Bretagne, and so as first, we talk about the context for dynamic software updates. Fact is, resourcing applications to update is really always bothering and sometimes is completely unacceptable. While, for example, updating spatial systems, when you reboot the system or you reboot just the navigation system, you lose it. That's unacceptable. So, to answer to that problem, we use dynamic software techniques, update techniques. And the proper applications as the main application as in non-dynamically updatable application meaning, and an update manager which will handle all the updates part. We call triggering the part where the users say they want to update the application and give the new code, and then we add the application that starts. Well, when we want to use dynamic software updates, we often follow a three steps program. We must choose a specific platform. For example, if I wanted to update C code, I will choose, for example, Ginseng, or we previously seen Kitsune, or choose a platform. And after that, we have to adapt our application to the platform. For example, if I choose Ginseng, I have to say, place in my code special parts, special statements that say that at this point I can update my program. And a third part and a third step is to adapt my application to the cost of the techniques I use. For example, when I use Ginseng, it uses a lot of indirections that has some impact on the performance of my program. I might want to compensate it. And these three steps, it's a cost when we want to try or to use these techniques. That's why we built PyMount. But its purpose is to bring as many distributed techniques as possible in Python in order to experiment with them. So we want to provide building blocks that could be combinable, reusable, and adaptable. And we identified three big kinds of users. We have program developers that have developed modeling and application and want to say which kind of techniques would I want to enable or to foresee for my program. We'll have update developers that will have an application, want to update them, and want to try different techniques, different strategies, and use the one that will respect the criteria. And we identify the DC researchers that would like to have some kind of sandbox where they could experiment the mechanisms. So let's see from their point of view, from the user's point of view, how it looks. We'll just take a look at the big picture. So we have on one side the application, which we will model as a set of threads that share data and functions. This application will use the PyMount library and use several API I will explain later. Then we'll have a manager that is the manager I talked about previously, that will deal all about the update. On top of that manager, we will have our updates provided by the update developer. And now we can see there are several interactions on which the different users can act. So, like the update developer will work on interaction between the updates and the application, the update to the manager, the application developer will work on the interaction between the application and the manager and this entire node. And the DSU researcher will work between this kind of interaction when he wants to add new mechanisms, it will work in Python. When you want to combine them, it will work on the manager. So let's see. I talked about the manager. The manager has two most noteworthy parts. The socket server will listen to signals provided by the users and to the new code that we want to give him. And we have these controller parts that are plugged to each thread. Because in Pymont, we use threads as the basic updatable block. And we define two kinds of threads for now, active and passive thread. I will explain the meaning of these names in the next slide. We specify updates for each thread, hence one controller thread. And we provide high and low level functions in order to develop updates. We want to give the user the maximum possibilities in order to enable him to do whatever he wants. So let's see, I talked about active and passive thread. So an active thread is called as such because when the manager will send it to the object signal, it will immediately pose itself to update, then resume. Whereas a passive thread will use update points, like I told in the JSON-JSEC, and these update points are placed by the user at places we think that the program will be safely updatable. And when the program, the thread, receives that update signal, it will wait until the next point, to pose itself, update, then resume. Let's see about a bit about how I use Pymont for my application model to write the application code and the update code. Here we have the application code. I write my function for my thread. Usually it's the code you put in the run method on the thread, but Python or Java. Then I use the start active thread function to create and start associated threads and create controllers. And we create controllers and bind them to them. Then I can register them to my manager. When I want to update my code, I give an example for the lib function for one thread. So I define a new my update function respecting some kind of standard name or signature. And then I just bind it to a thread. And then I could select an updating strategy. Here, self-update means what I explained previously, that the thread will pose itself, run its updates. Here, it will be running my function, update function, and then resume its execution. So, talking about update function, there are two main ways to define it. We can use predefined functions that are given in Pymont. Here I give a simple example. The say predefined function will replace the old function foo by my new function var in a module of which I've given the name. And there's a custom way where I could define my personal update function by using my low-level function supplied by code here. I have this is function in stack, which will tell me if my throw function foo is or not in the stack. And here I have a low level function that will replace function that will effectively replace it. So now that we've seen points of point of view from the users of this library, I'd like to talk about the DSU techniques we've put it in. We implemented up to about 8 techniques that are combinable and have combination possible. But here I'm going to present just 2 of them. You can read about the others in the paper. So the first one is the safe redefined function I talked about previously. We found it on the Opus and other platforms such as Sketchfab, but I will talk about how it's implemented in Opus per C programming language. It has several limitations, two of them being that it doesn't accept updating functions by changing the signatures. If you want to update a function, you will have to give the same signatures. And it has several problems with inlining, meaning that if your function has been inlined during compilation, it will not be updatable. And for the redefinition part, it just inserts a jump instruction at the beginning of the old function, and this jump will jump to the new function. In final, thanks to several possibilities of Python, it was easier. We had a built-in function that enabled us to walk the stack, so for the safe part of the safe redefinition, it was quite easy. And the natural indirection in the language made it completely free. We just have to say that the old version equals the new, and then it's done. We don't have to do anything else. Let's see, second example. We implemented two state conversion strategies in PyMult. The one I'm about to talk is called the eager state conversion. It means that we want to convert all objects at once. The other strategy would be the lazy state conversion that would boil down to converting one object at a time when we need to have access to it. So we took that strategy from Dynamic ML, who has a heap divided in two semispaces. And when the garbage collector, when collecting from the first semispace, will copy objects to the second semispace. And with the Dynamic ML, when the garbage collector will run on one semispace, it will convert the state of the program while migrating the second semispace. In PyMult, we chose to build our own pool of weak references to every object. That requires intercepting every object creation, but it enabled us to do the state conversion at any time. That's a technique that was a bit harder to implement than the safe redefinition. So, after explaining that, I will discuss a bit about Python. Was it a good idea or not? Well, it was, but let's see why. First, modification of the interpreter was quite simple. It was, because we haven't finished it yet. Working on it. We have natural indirection in the language, make relinking, function relinking, and class relinking free. And that is really easy. It's really a good thing to have in a platform. And the tested techniques have a low development cost. For example, the safe definition from Opus only required 9 lines of code. On the other hand, so far we have no way to easily handle thread. We cannot inspect the stack from the outside of the thread. So we have to use several mechanisms that are described in the paper to do so. And to intercept update triggers, we have to use the Python debugging trick system that it can introduce a high amount of overhead. That is not as dramatic as it seems, since we are not aiming for production programs when just here for modeling, but it's still something that is costly. So what I just presented is just a work in progress. What we want to do next is to, of course, add new DSU techniques. We are also thinking of why not a more generic a bit unit than thread, maybe give the user a way to define some a bit unit. And we'd like to work on semantics for the accommodation. We think it would be interesting for the user to know if his combination that he's trying to implement is wrong or could lead to some errors. And a good thing to have would be profiling tools like Prods see in the to have information of how the update is doing. Like it currently is 90% updated to the given new version, or it has it is the last update to several seconds or which time. And we'd like to work on some kind of interactive execution, like in like some kind of GDB for panels. So, well, that concludes my my speech. I'll just say that it's free software and online. So, if you want to, try it or read it or even to give any feedback, we'd be happy for it. And now, if you have any questions, I'd be glad to answer them.
Use the microphone, try it, Clem Dickey, IBM. I don't know enough about Python to know why you would need to modify the interpreter, but my question is, did your need to modify the interpreter suggest that there is something which could be added to Python's introspection, and perhaps in a future release of Python, you wouldn't need to modify the interpreter at all? Can you take these modifications and turn them into a PEP, which suggests you can do introspection better?
I'm not sure I understood the question.
Oh. Well, you said you had to modify the Python interpreter.
Yeah.
There was obviously something that you couldn't do natively in Python. Why was there anything you couldn't do natively in Python, and can that be turned into a new feature for Python? Is it a reasonable, is whatever you needed to do a reasonable thing to add to the language itself?
One of the things as we would have liked to have would be to inspect thread stacks from the outside. And that is something that is unknown, and with while discussing with the developer or the interpreter, the torture, that it's not something they are willing to work on, and that if I want it, I'm welcome to do it. So there are several things that that are good for DSU people, but apparently not to non-DSU people.
So not yet.
Yeah, just related thing. So I assume you're using standard Python?
No, I'm using the PyPy interpreter.
Okay.
That's made it easier to modify and to understand. Plus, it has some interesting features like proxies that we so far don't use but are planning to use.
So, I guess one question I had that wasn't very clear was, I guess you have on this slide some of the things that you want to use this for, but these seem to be, your original motivation was for sort of trying new DSU things. These ones are all pretty vague. Like other DSU systems don't sort of update the granular threads, they do something else. Combining the issue techniques, I'm not sure. I don't know. I feel like maybe I don't fully understand what techniques are easy to experiment with here versus other systems.
Here we can have the idea is to have a maximum techniques at the same time. same place. When you choose a platform, you don't have the same. Platforms made a choice for you. They say, we provide several techniques, they handle all you might need, but you, for example, you cannot say, there's no, as far as I know, there's no platform that say, you can use eager conversion for this three class and lazy conversion for this three other class. Mm-hmm. Or you cannot use safe redefinition for these functions and another techniques for this function. We'd like to, for a Nautic developer, that would be interesting to be able to test these techniques on this, within the same application. And while enabling the configuration of managers with low-level functions, we would like to give researchers the possibility of building easy new techniques from some small bricks.
So can I ask about this? So if I recall, you said you have the eager conversion implemented right now. Have you also implemented the lazy
techniques? Yes.
And is there much of a performance penalty for doing that?
We didn't make any measurements on the performance, but I think just by intuition, I think that lazy conversion would be less costly, mm-hmm. because for the eager conversion we have to intercept every object creation, and that's it.
I was more worried about the steady state overhead if you have to always check whether you're going to a new version or an old version as you're accessing data in the program.
Yeah. That's since Python already has a maximum layer and many layers of iteration, it is not that costly to just check the version.
Any more questions?
If you have two threads,
yes.
One, a function in one thread one is sending data to a function in thread two, do you have a mechanism where you can stop both threads and update the sender and receiver functions at the same time?
So far, every concurrency measures are left to the user's discretion. That means that if you have this kind of situation, it is expected of you to say to one thread to a data function and to the other thread just to wait while the other one is doing the video thing. Okay.
All right.